to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at for two of his disciples. The Lord Jesus, as we get into chapter 11, Jesus is in his last week of ministry. And the same thing happens both in Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel, that this is one of the last stops that the Lord has before he goes to the cross. But we see it in this passage here. We see the mercy of God displayed and the miracle of sight. The mercy of God. That's going to be the title of the message tonight. The mercy of God and the miracle of sight. I pray tonight that you might be able to see yourself accurately in the eyes of God. That you have been created in God's image and you have dignity and value and worth no matter what you have gone through, no matter what you have done, no matter what's been done to you, but that you might also see that you're a sinner in need of a Savior if you have not been saved by God's grace. And we see this man, he teaches us a lot in this lesson. So let's begin reading in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The mercy of God and the miracle of sight. Perhaps you're in here tonight as we look at this passage, and you are either spiritually blind or you can see. Perhaps, though, even if you can see, maybe your vision has gotten a little blurry with age. And I'm not talking about just natural eyes. I'm talking about your spiritual eyes, that we have lost our vision of who Christ is and what He can do and the mission that He has called us to in this world. We can't have problems with seeing even as believers. But as we look at this passage tonight, I want us to look at these few things. First of all, the miserable state of spiritual blindness. The miserable state of spiritual blindness. The second thing we'll see is a man's cry for mercy. There's a man in this passage that realized that he needed personal help. Right. Anybody that ever gets saved, you'll have to realize that I need personal help. Right. We've already heard testimonies of people crying out to God for salvation and God providing personal help. But I'll tell you, even after we are saved, we still need to cry out for God's mercy. Lord, I need your help. I believe it delights the heart of God when we call out to Him and say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your guidance. And then finally, we'll look at the mercy of Jesus and a man's reception of sight. Now, there's a danger tonight as we look at this passage. You have heard it many times. No doubt if you've read your Bibles, you've read over this many times. But I want you to understand that someone receiving sight that had no sight is an absolute miracle. Amen. And so many times we allow that, just we get dull and we say, well, that we've read that over and over and over again. But I want you to know, this man, when he went from being blind to being able to see, he got something new. He got something fresh. He had a new, brand new life. And I'll tell you, as we look at this in just a minute, a little bit deeper, this man got a double dose of blessing from the Lord, I believe. believe. And so let's look at this again. Verse 46. It says they came to Jericho. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. Jericho. What do you know about Jericho? Jericho is one of the oldest cities in the Bible. It is not very far from Jerusalem. Some said that I think it was about 44 kilometers. You could drive there in about 50 minutes today. If you got from Jericho, got in your car and drove up, you have to drive up. Even though it looked like it's down from Jerusalem, it's actually, even though it may look up northern, but it's actually down in elevation. And so I remember going to Jericho and passing through there in the summer of 2008, and we passed through Jericho, and then we had to ascend to the hill in the sense, in a biblical sense, ascend unto the hill of the Lord, because Jerusalem is about 3,700 feet higher than Jericho. It's going on up there. And so Jesus is passing by. Now, there's been some things that have happened in Jericho. If you remember throughout your biblical history, you'll know that some amazing things happened in Jericho. One of those was that the children of Israel, their first stop after crossing into the land was Jericho, and the Lord commanded them to march around that city for how many days? Do you remember? 7 days. They marched around 7 days. And what happened? Did they have to take their sword and their spears to win the battle? Nope. The Lord told them and wanted them to see that if you'll just praise me, if you'll just worship me, if you'll realize that I am your victory, then I will give you power over the enemy. And all they did was march around the city, and they began to shout on that seventh day, and the walls came tumbling down, and God brought a great judgment on that city. There was great judgment. If you remember that, I'm talking about mercy tonight, but there was great judgment on that city because of their idolatry and because of their sin that had become up before the Lord, and God brought judgment on that land. But even in the midst of judgment, God remembered mercy.
That's right.
There was a lady that lived in that town that had spared the spies and hid them to save the lives of those people. And those spies that went in there under Joshua's charge told her that if she would put this scarlet thread in her window, that whoever was in the house would be spared death. And you know what happened? Rahab got to work. She got to work, and when they came in after those walls had fallen down, you know who was in the house with Rahab? Rahab was not alone. Rahab was a missionary. She went out and she told her daddy, she told her mama, she told her brothers, she told all of her relatives that you better get in this house of mercy, because if you don't get in this house of mercy, then the judgment of God is coming. And as you read there, it tells us that as God was marching with the children of Israel through those lands, that the fear of God was coming on the nations. In some ways, their hearts were melting like water, because when God goes marching in, I'll tell you, it'll bring a conviction to you, and conviction had set up in Rahab's heart, and God spared her.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, Joshua pronounced a curse on that city that said, any man that rebuilds a city, if you rebuild the gates, you rebuild the walls, you lose your firstborn son, your secondborn son. And guess what happened in the days of Ahab? It tells us there was some foolish man that disregarded the word of God. He began to rebuild the city of Jericho, and he lost his firstborn son and his secondborn son. You can read that in 1 Kings 16 and 34. And so this city shouldn't have even been on the map if you go by what happened in the Old Testament. But God's a merciful God, isn't He? Even in our foolishness. And so Jesus is here passing by this little town. Jesus even used it in the story of the Good Samaritan. And he made a point to reference that the road between Jerusalem and down to Jericho, it was quite the dangerous road. That man that was traveling that road got beat up by the bandits. And he spoke about the Good Samaritan there in Luke chapter 10. And so there have been a lot of things that had happened in Jericho. This had a rich history. But I'll tell you, something else miraculous was going to happen as well. Not to mention, Zacchaeus was a man that you can read in Luke's Gospel chapter 19. He lived in Jericho as well, and he was a rotten man. But I tell you, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that man who had a heart hungry for money, God set him free and gave him a heart of generosity, saved him. And so here we're in this city again in Jericho. And it says, as he went out of Jericho, so Jesus is passing by. He's passing outside the city of Jericho. And notice who is with him. It says the disciples and a great number of people. Blind, it says the Jesus there, the Lamb of God, the disciples and a great number of people. This was not a small entourage. Jesus is traveling up to Jerusalem for the last time because Passover is next week. And so you have Jesus, his disciples, and perhaps some other followers that are traveling up to Jerusalem. And so they're passing by. This is a busy moment of ministry, I would imagine. And it says here that there's a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Now, what do we understand about his condition? First of all, he's blind. I thought about this as the brother was preaching last night about the importance of feeling after the Lord and groping there in the darkness and sometimes not knowing what you might stumble over or being led astray. I remember my mom telling me that as I was growing up that she was legally blind in her right eye, but it didn't seem to impact her daily activities very much. But I can't imagine what it would be like to wake up every day in the dark. Every day. And perhaps if you were born blind, you really wouldn't understand the difference. But in this situation, a lot of times, people were born blind because as they were born, today, with medical advancements, when a child is born, they'll put a little bit of eye salve over their eyes to create, to keep the eyes protected so that bacteria doesn't get in there and destroy a child's eyes. But back in those days, they didn't have those medical advances, and many people were born blind. They were born in the dark. They couldn't see. There wasn't any hope of ever seeing. This man Bartimaeus is blind. As you read over in John chapter 9 and verse 32, there was another man that was born blind over there too. Remember him? Jesus healed him too. He spit on the ground, made some clay, and put that mud on his eyes. And he said, I want you to go down to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself and your eyes will be recovered. And the Pharisees were wondering, man, they were really tripped up over this man because they couldn't get over his testimony. Because he said, they said something about, where's he from? Where's he from? He said, and the blind man told the Pharisees, do you not know where he's from? This man was able to heal my eyes. I was once blind, but now I see. And the Pharisees were tripped up over this man. He said, I don't know what you want to say about it. All I can tell you is, this man, whoever he is, he told me what to do, and I did it. Now I can see. And the Pharisees said this, because it denoted the desperate condition of the blind folks. It says, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? That's what the Pharisees said. We have never heard of someone born blind that had their eyes opened. We don't know if that ever happens. Only a miracle of God could do that. And so Bartimaeus, he's blind. His name tells us that he's the son of Timaeus. This is somebody's son, but he is sitting by. I want you to see the condition. If you're blind in those days, you couldn't work. Right. Even the blind man in John chapter 9 was reduced to begging, crying out to mercy just to get by, living off charity day by day. He is, in a sense, a picture in the Gospels as an outsider. This man is sidelined. He is marginalized. He is looked down upon. He is seen as less than human and all these things in many ways. But we see him begging here. We see him begging. We say that that would be a very dark and hard situation to be in if you couldn't see. But you know, that's not the worst condition that you can be in. The worst condition that you can be in is to be spiritually blind. To be unable to see God or to follow Him. Jesus told us in the scripture, if your eye be darkness, how great is that darkness? You realize tonight that there are people that cannot see. They are in the dark. They have no spiritual light whatsoever. There are individuals that have no spiritual light. You realize there are families today that have no spiritual light. They do not know God. They are in the dark. As you've seen some of those pictures from outer space and they shine down on America at night and you see where those cities are, you can see the lights popping up. Especially along the East Coast, the lights are shining even when it's dark. But I tell you, there are whole families that are in the dark. There's no spiritual light. There are neighborhoods all around this church that are in the dark. Their people don't know Jesus. They have no understanding of God. They're living in the blindness of their hearts. Their hearts are hard against God, and they are lost as lost can be. And that's the reason the Lord has left a church in this world, that we might be a city set upon a hill, that we might be a light in a dark place, that we might hold out the word of life for others that they would see. You don't have to walk in darkness, but Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So there's people in the dark. There's individuals in the dark. Perhaps you know families around you, families in your, people in your own extended families that are in the dark, cities that are in the dark. There's even nations that are in the dark in the world today that have very little light whatsoever. And there needs to be missionaries going into those dark places, because if we don't go and shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it says the God of this world has blinded their eyes. It is dangerous to be here tonight and be in the dark, to be spiritually blind and without God and without any hope in this world. As Jesus was talking to that blind man in John chapter 9, He was telling, I want to read it to you just so you get it, because it's in a sense comical that this man, they can't deny his testimony. He said, hey, we don't believe that you were really healed. And they talked to his parents and said, hey, he was born blind and now he can see it. And later on, Jesus, they'd cast him out of the synagogue in verse 34. And verse 35, look at what Jesus did. It said, Jesus heard, chapter 9 of John. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. This guy got a double dose. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? They realized Jesus was talking to them. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You see, Jesus said these folks were blind. They were religious, but they were blind. They didn't know. I remember my wife's grandfather's testimony. It was a great friend of mine that passed away a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago. And he said he went to church one night and the minister preached a message out of Matthew 15, I believe. If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. You know what he discovered? He was 22 years of age. I believe his little baby girl was about 6 weeks old. He hadn't been married very long. And he realized this simple truth about himself. I'm blind. I'm blind. I can't see. Isn't that what Jesus told Nicodemus? He said, unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I remember being in the church house over and over, and it seemed like I was going to church. I was being raised going to church, and I would hear the gospel, but I couldn't see what they were saying. I couldn't hear what they were saying. It was just, I was blind. I didn't understand. I didn't understand what they were saying. I didn't have any personal knowledge of God. And it seemed a little bit different because I kept going to church, but I just didn't feel like it was making sense. I didn't feel like there was a connection. And I tell you, you might be in here tonight and you might be in that same way. You've heard message after message and you sense that I just don't understand when these folks stand up and talk about seeing God and talking about having peace with God, talking about feeling after Him and knowing that I've been born again. I'll tell you, if you're in that state, then perhaps you're blind tonight. You're spiritually blind. You're worse off than blind Bartimaeus. And there is a remedy for your blindness. God is able to open up your eyes and allow you to see. There was a man by the name of John Newton that wrote a song. And the song has been sung probably for the last 300 years. And a line in it says, I once was blind, but now I see. It makes sense. God makes sense. God has opened up my eyes and made a believer out of me. And so perhaps you're in this state of spiritual blindness, unable to see God, unable to see His kingdom, unable to see His mission, unable to see your real purpose in this world. And so this man here, blind Bartimaeus, it says, he is sat by the highway side begging. But here's the good news. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, what happened? All he had to hear, the name of Jesus. Because if you read over in Matthew's Gospel, particularly in chapter 15, it tells us that Jesus had compassion on people in the past. There had been people that had been brought to Jesus that were blind, and they were able to see. If you go back to Matthew chapter 11, it tells us that when John the Baptist was asking about, is he truly the Messiah? Jesus gave him a mouthful and said, go tell John, he told him, John's servants, his disciples, he said, go tell John that the lame can walk and the blind can see and the gospel have the poor preach unto them. And I'll tell you, that was an example. This blind Bartimaeus, this wasn't the first time that God had given the miracle of sight. He had done it many times. And I'll tell you tonight, there's been many people in here that have been given the miracle of spiritual sight and spiritual vision. Your eyes have been opened up. But I tell you, their spiritual vision is not going to do for you. You got to make sure that you have eyes that can see for yourself. Right. If you can't see, it's not going to do you any good. You need to be able to see. And so Jesus is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth, that little no-name town on the outskirts of Galilee Jesus rose up out of obscurity, and I'll tell you, He put that place on the map. I'll tell you, He's something else. He said as He began to pass by Jericho, this is the last time. I want you to recognize that. This is the last time Jesus is going to be passing through Jericho. I don't know when the last time it's going to be for you. If you're in here tonight, and I don't know everybody's heart, I'm just preaching the gospel and praying that God will have His way with it. But I tell you, this was the last time that He was going to be passing by Jericho, because Jesus was on His way to the cross. The next step is Jerusalem. I don't know when the last time God might pass by for you, but there will be a last time.
That's right.
And I pray that you'll call out to Him. Notice the simplicity of this. It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He cried out. You know what? He wasn't afraid. Can you imagine? He can't see. He can't see. All he can do is hear. He hears the crowd. I want you to imagine with me what it must have been like to be sitting by the wayside over here, and all of a sudden you ask, what is the commotion? What is going on? What is happening? And he hears with his ears, and he hears that, hey, Jesus is passing by down this road on the outskirts of Jericho, and he's going up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, but he has already heard about Jesus. He can't see anything, but he's heard reports about Jesus that he has been healing, he has been saving, he has been raising the dead, he has been doing all these miracles, and he can't see anything. I hope you understand that. He can't see. He begins to cry out. And what does he cry out? It tells us in this passage right here. He said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I know you're the King. You're the Son of David. Will you have mercy on me? Lord, help me. Help me. I need your help. I need your help. Lord, rescue me. Do something. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And guess what happened? This man can't see, but I tell you, the crowd, they probably came over and put hands on him and said, "You get back over here in your spot over here where you need to stay, because you're a beggar. Maybe somebody's got some change and they can give you, but you got to be quiet, because Jesus is about His business and He is doing real ministry, and you're not part of real ministry. You're just on the outskirts. We don't have time for you. We've got an appointment to make." I can imagine they were telling him all kinds of things. They're trying to hush him up and silence him. He said, "Jesus, thou Son of Man, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." He just kept getting louder and louder and louder. And I'll tell you, tonight, if you ever want to get saved, you're going to have to quit worrying about what anybody in this church house or in your family. You'll have to say, "Lord, have mercy on me. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what people have got to say. I got to get to Jesus. I have got to have some sight. I've got to have some relief for this burden on my heart." And he began to cry out louder and louder. I can imagine the crowds are passing by. They're trying to hush him. And he just gets louder and louder and louder. And I'll tell you, that "have mercy on me," Jesus heard it. I'll tell you, his heart was moved with compassion. You know that word compassion in the Bible? It's the word mercy in the Old Testament, but it talks about often bowels of mercy, intestines of mercy. He's talking about down in this area where your intestines are, way down deep. He's saying bowels of mercy. He has a deep affection for humanity. He has a deep longing to save. He is able to save. And this man got to crying out in faith, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me." I'll tell you, mercy is a big, big word. It's a word that even God introduced there in the tabernacle. There was something that was called the mercy seat. The mercy seat. God said, "I will commune with you above the mercy seat." Do you know what was in that tabernacle underneath that mercy seat? There was the rod of Aaron. There was a pot of manna that God had sustained to remind them that He is their sustainer. He is the one that gives them the physical strength. And there was the law of God that is perfect, holy, and just. And the only way that man could be able to come before God and commune with Him is that high priest had to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat so that the blood could cover the broken law and the rebellion of man. But I tell you, that's what Jesus was on His way to do, to create a mercy seat at that cross so that man could be saved. So look what happened. This man just kept crying out and said, "Jesus stood still." I love this about Jesus. You think so many times we get caught up in the crowds. Get caught up in the crowds and all the activity and all that's going on. There's one man over here hurting. There's one man over here blind. There's one man that's been blind from birth. He's been living in the dark. He's been living without hope. I can't imagine the amounts of depression that he's gone through throughout his life because of the darkness that has been in his life, the hopelessness that's been in his life. And he gets one last shot that, "Hey, I heard this man, Jesus, has power to heal." And Jesus is walking along and he stands still. He says, he commanded him to be called. Can you imagine? Jesus sent some folks that probably, I wish it was the folks who were trying to hush him the worst. "Hey, quit hushing him. Tell him to come over here." Can you imagine how the Lord could flip that around? And it says, they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good comfort. He's calling. Rise. Get up. Get up. Get up. He's calling for you." And so Jesus It says here, he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. You imagine, he can't see. He doesn't have physical sight, but he's got some insight. He's got some insight that, hey, there's something about this man. And he's standing here. He cannot see. He cannot see the glory of God standing in front of him. But oh, I can imagine the voice, just hearing the Lord's voice. And Jesus asked this man that can't see, he asked him this, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" And he said this, the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Lord, I just want to be able to see. I've been hopeless. Nobody's been able to fix this. I've gone to doctor after doctor, perhaps I put ointment after ointment on my eyes. And I've been reduced to begging. This is not the way that I thought life was going to be. Lord, just allow me to see. Set me free. And look what happened. Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." Can you imagine this guy over here on the outskirts of the... He's been sitting on this roadway time after time after time again. People have passed by and passed by and passed by. Imagine all those that are out on the street corners around Nashville. People pass by and pass by. And I don't know the motives of all those folks, but that's kind of the way blind Bartimaeus was. He's living off the mercy of other people. Some of them are panhandling and getting rich, and some are really beggars. And Bartimaeus was a beggar. But this day, the Lord said, "Your faith has made you whole." If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, I want you to know you've just got to trust. Amen. Trust, come to Him and trust Him. Cry out to Him. Confess that you cannot open up your own eyes. Confess that you're blind. Confess that you can't see. Jesus, in simplicity, says this, "Go thy way, thy faith." How can we be made right in the eyes of God? Abraham believed God and counted him as righteousness. You've got to believe that He has the power to do it. He says, "Your faith has made you whole." Do you know, I believe that word "whole" there is, in a sense, has a double meaning. It saved you. Your faith has saved you. Your faith in Christ has saved you. I believe something powerful happened with this man. I believe that the God who created the world and said, "Let there be light," not only did He light up his natural eyes, but I believe He also lit up his spiritual eyes all at the same time. And he really got to see God for all that he was. And it says here, immediately he received his sight. How fast did it take? How long did it take? He woke up that morning. You know, we say today is a day of salvation. He woke up that morning blind. He went to bed that night with vision.
Amen.
Sight. Can you imagine when Jesus opened up his eyes? "I can see. I can see. What else can I see? I can see. My eyes are opened." Do you know what? I believe God wants to be able to see clearer and clearer the older we get. What does He want us to see? He wants us to see His sacrificial love, that He was willing to go to the cross. He wants to see His glory as He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He wants us to see that He has called every single one of us to discipleship, to take up our cross and follow after Him. And He wants us to see that God has called each one of us to service. Look at verse 45, and I'll close with this. He says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This man's life was changed in a moment. I want you to think about that. Has God opened up your eyes? If he hasn't, then you're still in spiritual darkness. Nicodemus remained in spiritual darkness for some time, but I believe he caught a glimpse of the Lord somewhere between that episode in John 3 and the cross, because he was there to take down his body and he didn't care what anybody else thought. He had eyes to see. But I ask you, if you're here tonight, has your vision of God's glory and of Christ and of his church and of your mission in this world, has your vision got a little bit blurry? Well, I pray that the gospel, the eye drops of the gospel, or the contacts of the gospel, might clear our vision to see that Jesus is so much more than we actually see him to be. And one of these days, the Bible says we're going to see him as he is. So may God help us. If you're here tonight and you're blind, as my friend Brother J.T. Honeycutt said, I went to church that night and he had bad eye. He had big, thick glasses too. He had to wear those many years, like Coke bottle glass. They were thick. But I tell you, that night the Lord adjusted his vision at a 22-year-old man, and he went on to live for the Lord decades. Because he went to church that night blind, but the Lord opened up his eyes to see, and he followed him all the way home. I pray you'll do the same as we stand and sing. Brother Dyer.